was dealing with Israel, he had some challenges with them. And he gave them so many incredible promises. He gave them so many amazing demonstrations of his life, his power, his love, and everything that he had for them as they were coming out of Egypt and into the promised land, and other things that he did for them. And they got to the point where everything was conditional and about them, and it was so sad that their obedience was so incomplete. And they would take everything that God had and just basically abuse it and just wanted more for themselves. And when it came to a point where they're going into the fullness of God's promises in as they crossed through the wilderness and to go into the promised land, they came to a place called Kadesh Barnea. And that town, Kadesh Barnea, if you translate it, simply means incomplete consecration. And they could then not go on into the fullness of God's promises, into the promised land. And God said, Moses, as truly as I live, all the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. This people have failed me. Their carcasses will perish in the wilderness. But I'll raise up a generation who will go on, who will move in, who will do what I want, who will obey my voice. Apart from Joshua and Caleb, who walked into that promised land and said, hey, they are chicken feed for us, and if you want to put it in modern language, let's go in and take that land. And everyone else says, oh no, there's giants and there's all sorts of hassles and problems and there's this, there's that and the other. And they caved in. But God's promise was, the earth will be filled. The earth will be filled. And I'm wondering what our part in that is. A lot of things that God did with them in the Old Testament ended up being conditional. There was a big if over everything. If my people, if you will hearken to my voice, if you will walk in my way, if you will do this, if you will do that, I'll do the other. And there seemed to be this constant conflict of the promises and the conditions, and they never seemed to be able to meet the standards or the conditions enough for God to continually do what he wanted to do with them. Well, God's heart wasn't changed. He wanted more than anything. But could he was the problem. Now, if they were unable to meet the conditions in so many areas, what conditions are on us? What would create a situation where God couldn't do what he wanted to do in us entirely and fully? Because we don't have the if. We don't have a condition to God's promises in our lives. We have the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ paid for in full. The blockage is never God. Remember that. In the Old Testament, everything that God could do, all of his action and involvement was pretty well based on them, their performance, their obedience, their commitment, their devotion, lack of it, or whatever have you. And unfortunately, when they ignored God, they were ended up left to their own peril because they shut God out. Is that any different with us, maybe? Think about it. I'm not going to put any rules and regulations on this, but I'm just wondering if sometimes we are not victims of our own ignorance and circumstance. We never get what God wants happening in our lives because we tend to block God out of so many things. And we leave him out. And even though in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, there were so many ifs before God could do anything, God is still currently waiting for the invitation from us. Not for our performance, not for our rules, regulations, and so forth in its fullness of obedience, but in our heart surrender. I really believe that sometimes we just are walking in a state of blissful ignorance to some degree. We've got everything going for us in life sometimes, and we completely ignore God. Back in a covenant or a promise that God gave the children of Israel in the Old Testament, I want you to look at this. Deuteronomy 28, 1 to 13, one of my favorite scriptures. And God challenged Israel with this. He said, if you will fully obey the Lord your God, faithful or carefully follow his commands that he gives you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on the earth. And all these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you will obey the Lord your God. He gave them every opportunity to attain and have the best. You'll be blessed in the city. Not that I like cities, but that's fine to be blessed if you're in there. Blessed in the country, yes. Love it. Got a bit of land around us, love it. Blessed in the country, blessed in the city. The fruit of your womb will be blessed. The crops of your land, the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds, the lambs of your flocks. There wasn't much left out that wouldn't be blessed if they followed God implicitly. Goes on, your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. Man, plenty and abundance. Nothing going, not never going without. God would ensure they were totally provided for. Blessed when you come in. Blessed when you go out. Continue on, next page. He will grant that enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction and flee in seven. Man, this promise is amazing. It's incredible that God would work for them in such an incredibly powerful way. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and everything you put your hand to do. Your Lord, your God, will bless you in the land he's given you. He will establish you as his holy people as he promised you on oath. If you will keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in obedience, then all of the people of the earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you, and the Lord will grant you abundant prosperity. The fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, the crops of your ground, the land he swore to your ancestors to give you. Does it go on any further? Yeah. He will open up the heavens, the storehouses of his bounty to send rain on your land in season. Bless the work of your hand. I like this bit. You will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. Who controls the world's finances today? You think about it. These people got that part right. The Lord will make you the head, not the tail. If you pay attention to commands of your Lord, that he will give you this day and follow them. You will always be at the top, never the bottom. Do not turn aside from any of the commands I give you today to the right, the left, not following other gods or serving them. But if you do not follow his commands, you're at your own peril. And that went on from there. You know, God gave them every opportunity for every blessing he had available to them. Dave got up there at communion, and he read a scripture out. I didn't even take note of where it came from. But the two words in one section that stood out, the highest privilege. We have the highest privilege that God could endow us with. They had it as well. It also said that everything that he has, he also brought out that God wanted to give us everything that he had in mind for us. I don't know what translation that was, Dave, but those two phrases, when we came around that covenant table, it's the highest privilege we can have in sharing of a meal of covenant with our God, who has given us the highest privilege to be partakers of that divine covenant. And he wants to provide us with everything that he has in mind for us. Now, the children of Israel dipped out over and over and over and over again in missing out on God's promises. I'm telling you, we need to be a little more astute than that. Paul wrote in the New Testament and he said, these things happened to them as examples for us so that we would not stumble as they stumbled, not fall as they fell, and not miss out as they missed out. Whoa! And that was simply because of their lack of astuteness and following God implicitly. Now, I'm not saying we're not doing that. Our hearts are for God. Man, you can't come into a worship service like this and sing and open your heart to God to praise and worship him the way we did this morning if you don't have a passion for God. Man, that is just so awesome to be able to come in and exalt the God we love. to bless his name, to worship him, to cry out in gratitude and thanks and sing songs that just so exalt him. Man, I love that. I love that. It's such a privilege. Another highest privilege. Coming right into the very Holy of Holies and seeing God being able to do that for us. And you know, with Israel, they had no full eternal promise of God's eternal life or salvation. They simply had a covenant promise for their existence on the planet. But it was a generational, on and on and on. But they took that up in some degree. And they got a little bit arrogant with it, I suppose, I don't know. But then when they were challenged with who they were and whatever, as Jesus did in John 8, they referred back to their father Abraham. Never referred back to God. Isn't that amazing? And they referred back, oh, well, we were given through Abraham and through the and everything. God gave the promises to Abraham, but they wanted to acknowledge Abraham. Isn't it interesting that they went back to where the natural source came through, not the spiritual source? It was quite sad with them. And Jesus challenged them. And they said to him, are you greater than our father Abraham? And he says, well, before Abraham was, I am. And they all got cranky with him, you know, and they wanted to stone him, but they couldn't touch him. And he was sitting there, and he says, and Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And they're like, you're less than 50 years old. How could you possibly have seen Abraham? But Abraham was given a promise by God back in Genesis 15, where he was told, in his seed, all nations would be blessed. And Paul reiterates that and says, not as many seed, but one seed. And there was a seed further down that lineage that Abraham saw in faith and rejoiced because that seed provided by God, not his son Isaac or Ishmael, but a seed provided by God of his offspring would be the generative blessing source for all nations to come to God through, to be blessed in. And they could not see that. They were so wound up in all of the natural benefits that Jesus or that God had promised them in the Old Testament, they could not. They had the blinkers on and nothing could be changed from that earlier promise. Sometimes when we come to God, we get a picture of who God is in our life by our circumstances or by our environment or the church creeds that we're in or whatever have you, and we get locked into a blinker situation that everything only works in that little form and parallel. God wants to open us up to receive all that he has for us. God wants to blow us apart completely to ensure we miss out on nothing. His blessings are for us, not just to be a blessed, hippie, happy lot of people that have some form of superiority complex over the earth. That's what was wrong with Israel. They ended up getting this superiority complex and it brought them undone. God's blessings for us are for God's benefit. How do you work that out? Let thy glory be seen over all. And it's not that we're any different in so many ways to so many other people. But back in that promise in Deuteronomy, if, he said, all of these blessings shall overtake you. Now I'm telling you, anyone here ever been overtaken? Firstly, you get on the highway, you know, you're driving along and the next thing, where did he come from? It wasn't me, it was probably Ray. And I'm not used to being overtaken like that, honestly. I get, you know, I'm generally the one doing the overtaking, but it's not always. And it's an interesting scenario that when God wants to overtake us, when you get overtaken by God, it generally takes you by surprise. Because it's something that God does just because he's God and he wants to. He wants to bless us. And if ever you look at your life in so many ways and you're believing God for things, and you're seeing things in your life that you know you the only way to get them right is for God to do them, and you're praying, and you're next thing you know, how did that happen? And it is abundantly more than you can ask or think. It doesn't come the way we expect it. It's funny how when we pray about things that we want God to do, and we dictate, Lord, I've got to have this cup. It's got to be beige with a blue lid. Father God, it's the only way I can get a drink. Give me a drink, Lord. And I've got to have this blue-topped cup, otherwise I'm history. And God goes, I've got something better. We need to give God every opportunity. Because honestly, sometimes when I listen to myself praying, I think, gee, you're a klutz. And I stop myself. I do. Listen to yourself pray. And quite often, we're giving God the terms of how we want him to answer our prayers. My goodness me, my ways are not your ways. And unless the Holy Spirit has revealed the things of God to you in a specific manner, shut up. Pray according to his Spirit, the way he does things, because he's got ways that are far above our ways. He wants to reveal them to us, but we've got our blinkers on. And we can't see the forest for the trees. And God's going, will you just open your eyes? Lift up your eyes and look, he said to Abraham, from the place where you now stand, north, south, east, and west, I'll give you all the land. And he couldn't see any further than the rocks on the ground in front of him while his eyes were focused downwards. I've got my little patch. Ooh. He says, hey, elevate your thinking, your vision. Elevate it all to what God has for you. And we often get into a mindset like Israel where everything has to work within the framework of something that was set in concrete or drafted up or taught to us years ago. And God wants us to move on. He wants to open our heart and our open eyes to so much more. The children of Israel, even though they referred to Abraham, missed the principle of that covenant. It was a much higher covenant than anything Moses had done. And it was a much greater covenant. And it was an eternal covenant as well. It wasn't just a short-term one. It was forever. And yet they lost the plot somewhere and just looked back at the natural aspects of everything rather than what God's intent, plans, and purposes were. We just don't want to be like that. We want to move on in all nations to be blessed. They said to Jesus, are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and all the prophets are dead? Who do you make out yourself to be? Who do you think you are? And they actually rejected the manifested promise that was given to Abraham, being blinded by the greatness of, quote, Abraham instead of the greatness of God. I want to go to Galatians chapter 3. I think this is Galatians 3. It says, and if you are Christ's, if you are who? Christ's. You are Abraham's seed and heirs according to a promise. You know, from that one seed came many, but it came through who? The Lord Jesus Christ. And that made us heir of all of the blessings and promise of Abraham that was given to Abraham. Not all the interim laws and so forth, etc. But it tells us then that the law was added because of disobedience. And there was other things that were added in. God could not implement what he wanted in Abraham while they were in this throes of up and down, topsy-turvy lifestyle and going in and out of slavery and bondage and under kings and all that sort of thing. God wanted it to go further than that, but they couldn't see what was going on. We become heirs of God's promise. I want to go another scripture that I've put up there from Ephesians. This is in a few sections. But this is one of the best promises in the Word of God to us. Blessed be the God and Father. Who? He went back to God, not to Abraham. Never went back and said, oh, blessed be the God of Abraham. That's what they used to say. And you know, the problem with the old type scenario, they never took ownership of God as their father. They were so busy with the interim scenarios and the prophets and the and all of the important people that were, quote, influential in their nation's development, they forgot God again. They forgot Him. We've got to make sure that regardless of what happens in our lives, whether we, you know, are in this church or another church, or whether we're what we're doing at our home and our families and in our houses or whatever we are doing and how we are doing it, we are Christ's. And the rest is irrelevant, really. It's just God's blessing being poured out on us if we acknowledge Him for it. Amen? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. God, whatever God had in mind for us, has a source in heavenly places. Now, don't think that that is some super spiritual, feel-good blessing that God's got for us. Every spiritual blessing, if you take that in its fullest context, it's what's in the mind of God for us to be fully blessed where we are on planet Earth. It has its source in the spiritual realm. It has its source in the heart and mind of God. It has its source in Him. So without being in Him, we get none of it. We miss it. But what He has for us, spiritually we are blessed, but we are also enhanced and blessed in all that we do. Blessed wherever we travel, wherever we go, whatever we do. God has chosen to bless us, firstly, in the mind of God. It all starts there. Everything starts in the mind of God. And even as He chose us in Him, what? The mind of God again, in action. We were chosen to be a people of God. Now, I'm not turning around saying, oh, He chose you and you, and he rejected other people. God chose that every person in Christ could be born again and saved. It's not the will of our Father in heaven that any should perish. Salvation is for every man. They just don't know it and they don't receive it. That's the sad part about it. But He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless before Him and in love. Now look at this. And He predestined us. Not that He predestined us that we'd be saved, like some people teach in Calvinism or Arminianism and those extremisms. They're crazy. They don't read the Word. Those things are irrelevant. He chose us to be what? Sons. You come to Christ and He doesn't say, ah, well, I'm going to make you a servant. I'm going to make you a housemaid. And I'm going to make you my dishwasher lady, and I'm going to make you someone else to clean the house. He doesn't do that. He makes us joint heirs with Christ Jesus as sons. The day we come to Christ, our predestined stand in God is status of childhood sonship in Him and heirs of His promises. That's predestination in a nutshell. And everywhere predestination is mentioned in the Scripture, it's status in God. It has nothing to do whether you're saved or not saved or chosen or not chosen. And that's where man got it wrong with their crazy doctrines that say, oh, well, if I'm predestined to be saved and you weren't, so you're going to hell. What a lot of nonsense. Violates the heart of God. We are predestined to be His children, His family, and to have everything He has for us as heirs of His kingdom. You come to Him and you don't take up your heirship, you are crazy. If your father, mother, or family member, someone had wealth untold and left it to you in the will and wrote a note out and said, this is for Rake. And Rake went, whoa, this is a wonderful document. I'm going to put that on my wall and frame it and leave it there and look at it for the rest of my life and never, ever, ever take the resources of that will. It's of no benefit to him. And so many people in the kingdom of God do that, and they've got God in this little box and His promises up there. And isn't it wonderful to know that God's got a promise for me? And they never receive it. Because they don't know they have a right to it as sons of God. We're predestined to go into that blessing era of our God. And He wants it to do that. Now let's go on through this thing. I better hurry through this. I'll finish this quickly. Move on from the next one, please. In Him we have redemption through the blood, through His blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished on us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven, things on earth. Continue. In him we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be what? To the praise of his glory. I'm telling you, this is so incredible. In him you also, when you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is our guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the what? Praise of his glory. And I'm telling you, where God's blessings and God's passion for us are to be lavished upon us is to be what? To the praise of his glory. And for men to see, wow, why are these Christians still affected by all what's going on in the world at the moment? We saw a thing on Facebook, the Faceache or whatever it's called, the other day. I'm not on it. Thank God I'm not on it. Everyone says you should be on it because it keeps you in touch with everybody. I'm going, I don't want to be in touch with everybody. There's some nuts out there. There's some fruitcakes out there. And some of them call themselves Christians. But we saw a transmission from one Christian to another Christian this week about the eclipse that's going to happen in America over Tennessee, and how it's going to be a catastrophe and the beginning of this and the beginning. And some guy's written all this nonsense about it, and Christians are flicking it around as if it's gospel. Don't go anywhere near America. You know why I'm going to America? I'm going to America next week. I'm going to be right under that eclipse. I want to see what happens when the moon passes by the sun. And I don't give a rip about anything else. All I know is that there's a planet there and a moon there and the sun there. And they're going to go, and we're going to get dark and we're going to get light again, and it's not going to be any different afterwards. It's a simple phenomena that happens regularly. And yet there's all this voodoo spiritualism going on, and in the church as well, that it is some phenomenal event that's going to usher in some catastrophe or big earthquake, or and everybody's going to get killed around it. And oh my God, for goodness sake, Lord God, I'm there to the praise of his glory, and that eclipse will just go by and look over. I've had people get on planes and I'm always scared to be on planes. I say, well, thank God you're sitting next to me, because I'm going to get to the other end. I say that to them. I do. You're lucky you're sitting next to me, because I have no intention of not going to where I'm going. I'm going in the grace of God, and when I get there, I'll get off this plane and I'll be where I want to be. You hang on to my hand, I'll make sure you get there. I say that to them. I had one girl who was terrified on a plane once in the seat behind me. I swapped. I said, come and sit here. I said, you'll be safer here. True. It's no, I take God's blessings literally, that where I go, everywhere I go, blessed shall be everywhere I put my foot to travel. It's the land I'm claiming for God. Don't get hyped up with crazy thoughts and fears and superstitious ideas. Take your life as God said it should be, to the praise of his glory. Amen. I'll finish with this. Well, John 13:34, Jesus said this: seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I've skipped heaps. And all these things will be added to you. The blessing of the Lord, it tells us in Proverbs, maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. When God blesses you in a receivable, capable, handleable way, that you can take and enhance your life with, and your life is blessed with. And it doesn't mean that you become super spiritual or super rich or super this or super that. You are adequately taken care of in a way that is to the praise of his glory. Just remember that. The things that we have in this life that God wants to bless us with, the minute we lose focus, we will lose the blessing. I can tell you. I know that from experience, when I thought it was all my doing, my hands, my strength, my capacity, my ability. I'm such a clever guy, and everything I did fell apart when I forgot to honor God. I wasn't so clever. I wasn't so smart, and I wasn't so talented as what I thought I was. And I have to turn around and acknowledge him in all thy ways. What? Acknowledge him. He will direct your paths. And to the praise of his glory, the evidence of God's overtaking blessing is seen by other people in the world that you don't even know about. It's raising questions. It's raising interest. But it's seen because the hand of God is there when we acknowledge him in all our ways to be the people he wants us to be. Arise and shine, Isaiah 60 says, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you, and kings will come to your light. Oh no, it says, what is it? Kings to the brightness of your sun. It's not kings, it says something, and then kings to the brightness of your rising. They shall all look up and see the glory of God over his people. And that's a promise of God in that particular sense. But if God wants to have his glory revealed through this planet, through his people, and we've talked about God being the bulk in us, where we've come to this table in the past few weeks where our lives invite Christ in, but he's there as the hope of glory. And I brought this out, and I'll finish with this. That hope of God's deposit in our lives is for Christ to be revealed in us. And when we come to the table, and when we come before God, and when we acknowledge God, and when we say, Lord, I need more of you. It's not that there's a bigger Christ gets pulled in you. It's God gets his chisel out and chips away more of us so that more of Christ is revealed in us. And it's the less of us and the more of him that becomes manifest and evident. When we first get saved, we're still full of ourselves. It's still me. And God comes along and puts Christ in the middle and he says, now I want him to be revealed. But what happens? The sculptor takes place and gets rid of everything that is not Christ in my life. And that's where we need to be. We need to surrender to him every day afresh. Every day afresh. And take our lives and put them in his hands, not going about our lives ignoring God, but acknowledging him. Amen. Father, this is a precious situation, Lord. But Father, I hope I've given it what I should have given it. And Lord, I just ask for your Holy Spirit to fill in the blanks. And that, Lord God, we would be to the praise of your glory. Because we are Christ. Because we're in him. Because we are your children. Because you've predestined us to be the heirs of your inheritance and sons and daughters of the living God. Father, I pray in Jesus' name, you teach us what it is to resurrender, to resurrender, to resurrender, and allow everything that is not you to be chipped away, for your glory to be manifest, for your life to be seen, for you to be free, Lord God, to be the God you want to be to each one of us, in order that you would be glorified, that you would be glorified. Father, our cry is that Jesus be exalted in all that we are, say, and do, that we would be the people you want us to be, in the region we're in, an influence, Lord God, to our workmates, an influence to our family, an influence to our colleagues, an influence, Lord God, to our neighbors and friends, an influence, Lord God, wherever we may be, because we are heirs of an incredible God. Father, I pray that our lives and hearts would all be changed, that our thinking would be changed. Everything would be changed about us, Lord God, that doesn't comply with what you want, to bring about your purposes in all of our lives, to the praise of your glory. Thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I had about another 25 pages of notes on that, and I overdid it. And I skipped and jumped and moved, but I knew that the clock won't stop up there. I wanted to just shoot it, but then it's still, time still goes on.